Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Kale and Company News Live here on this Monday. And we begin with probably the biggest story of the weekend, and it's a local story. As police are investigating the potential arson at Governor Shapiro's residence in Harrisburg. Got a couple of stories here. We'll go through this sequentially. So the governor and his family were present, but in a different part of the residence at the time of the fire. No one was injured, and the fire was extinguished, according to authorities. This is according to 6ABC. The fire broke out overnight on the first night of the Jewish holiday of Passover, which Shapiro and his family had celebrated at the governor's official residence in the state capital of Harrisburg. State police said in a statement while the investigation was ongoing, they were, quote, prepared to say at this time that this wasn't an act of arson. Obviously, we have the update for that. In a statement, Shapiro, viewed as a potential White House contender in 2028, said he and his family woke up at about 2 a.m. to bangs on the door from the Pennsylvania State Police after the fire broke out. Shapiro said in a statement, quote, thank God no one was injured and the fire was extinguished. And then later in the day yesterday,
look at those pictures. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we have them up on YouTube. This is the aftermath of the governor residence.
Torched.
It's remnants and
it looks like arson to me. And the story keeps developing. They have a suspect who's a Harrisburg guy. And he's not a right winger and he's not a left winger. He's apparently a socialist. And he hated Shapiro because he put his house up for auction. Yes. So this guy lives in Harrisburg. He's got a family. They know who he is. He's a suspect.
I don't know if those claims have been substantiated yet, but I did see the same thing, Tony, that you were seeing online, that there was a deed for like a sheriff's sale for his house. So I did see that, but obviously the motives still are unknown.
But the big part of the story that is going to be developing, and again, this is not speculation. They know who the guy is, the suspect. They have the suspect. Yeah. They found out that he had scaled the fence. Yep. Now, this is the governor's mansion in Harrisburg, right?
Yep.
And we hear about people climbing over the White House fence and trying to get into the White House, regardless of who the president is. Wackos go in.
Phil Almquist did that this weekend.
I know. He got in, but he should have gone to Miami because everybody was at the UFC fight and Phil was at the White House. And
nobody was home.
In Washington and Shaq, they were all in Miami, in Miami at the UFC fight. But here's the thing that's incredible. We're grateful that Governor Shapiro and his family are safe.
Yes.
But how does somebody scale the wall with incendiary devices? Because this is an arson job. This is not an accidental, you know, that they left the stove on after the Seder. You know, this was an arson. Yeah. And you've seen the physical damage. And Governor Shapiro's office is posting the photographs of the extensive damage done in the governor's mansion. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then you start wondering. The Pennsylvania State Police, you would think that there'd be some sort of armed security at the governor's mansion in Harrisburg. Well, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. First of all, that the Shapiro family is safe.
Yeah.
But second, that somebody's able to get in there, and Josh Shapiro and his family had to wait for a knock on the door to know that the first floor was on fire.
Yeah.
It's insane.
The authorities have named 38-year-old Cody Ballmer as the suspect. He's charged with attempted murder, terrorism, aggravated arson, and aggravated assault against an enumerated person, according to officials. And I believe, Stocker, you have some of the Shapiro press conference.
Yeah, Phil, do you have that press conference that I sent you last night?
Yeah, if we can roll a little bit of the governor after his house. And we got to have this conversation about, you know, we talk about assassination attempts of Trump, arsons. Yeah. Tony, you're talking about scaling walls. Makes you wonder about presidents, presidential candidates, governors. Are things as buttoned up as they should be?
Is everybody really safe?
With security detail, right?
Phil, this isn't what I sent you last night, but you can play this.
Okay.
Yeah, breaking the fence over there, the pet shop, is that where he came in, and was the fence damaged because of him?
Yes, I will. I'll turn it over to Lieutenant Colonel Bivens at this point. That was the point of ingress. And as I said, we will be conducting a multifaceted review in terms of security measures and the exact timeline of how it happened. But I do feel very confident in saying that certain steps of due diligence were taken by our people. And, we are in their debt for getting the governor and his family immediate and extended out of the house. When you see the physical plant behind me, it will be readily apparent how grave the situation was.
How could this happen?
1 second, I'll turn it over to Lieutenant Colonel Bivens.
Yes, how could this happen?
So this individual came over a fence and right behind where all of you are standing right now.
He actively evaded troopers who were here to secure the residence, even while they were searching for him on the property. While they were searching is when he attacked at the residence, broke in, and set the fires. So that was all playing out over a period of several minutes. It was a very quick event that occurred, and again, troopers were actively searching for him at the time.
What did he use to set the fire?
He had some homemade incendiary devices.
Molotov cocktail.
I'm not going to provide a lot more detail on that right now. A lot of material has been collected and is being analyzed, but I think a homemade device describes it for right now.
Did he know he was on the property before he started the fire?
We knew that there had been a breach on the property, and we were searching to determine what the what had occurred, why there was a breach.
Will there be an increased security presence around the governor's mansion, and will the FBI remain on site? Talk a little bit about what's going to go on.
There is already a security review underway to determine how we can ensure that we don't have a repeat of a situation like this. We look at all aspects, personnel, technical surveillance equipment, security equipment. All of that will be reviewed, and we will do our best to ensure that the governor and his family are safe in this residence.
Did he make it into the residence itself, or was this something thrown through the window?
He did make it into the residence.
It's amazing.
It really is.
Yeah.
He exited the property the same way he came on, back over the fence. He was apprehended in the Harrisburg area a short time ago.
All right, so we'll hear from Josh Shapiro a little bit later in the show, either at the bottom of the hour or for the cut sheet, but there you go.
So he got in and out and set the fires and still wasn't apprehended until he was in the the city roaming around.
Until he was down the road.
That's exactly, so to speak.
Well, that's the shocking part. The most shocking, and the good part about this is that they got the guy. And he did go in there with there's no doubt he went in there with the intent to cause serious damage and perhaps kill, the first family of the state of Pennsylvania. So one thing that's good about the outcome of the story is they have a suspect. They know that he went in there, got over a wall, went in there with some sort of a homemade device, and started a fire in the governor's mansion in Harrisburg. That's all documented now from the police. We don't know, what's going to happen next, but we do know that they have a suspect.
Yeah.
We do know that apparently he's a registered socialist, so he's not a right-wing guy or a left-wing guy. He was just a guy who was really pissed off and wanted to do harm to the family, the Josh Shapiro family, on the holiday weekend of Passover.
I'll tell you, the first thought that entered my head when I read the story yesterday and I was watching some of the clips on social media was that this was not a right-wing thing, this was not a Trump thing. My first thought was this isn't some anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian nutbag.
Yeah.
Because in the last 2 years, we've seen the rise of it just come out of the closet, so to speak, with all of these people that just hate the Jews. Yeah. That's what I thought of right away.
We condemn this kind of behavior on this show.
Absolutely.
What was the report that this guy had been on the radar of police for a long time? So, obviously this guy, and from what I've heard, he's had a record. Mm-hmm. So they knew who this guy was. He's been arrested before. So, I just don't know how. What were the police not?
I'd like to know what his security detail is on a routine basis. Is there one guy in a car or one guy in a booth?
I doubt it's one guy.
Right? It's got to be more than that.
You would think.
For the governor of the.
There's Sean Farish, our buddy, posted a picture of this guy with his wife and kids standing in front of his home in Harrisburg. And again, the initial indication was that this guy was so mad at Josh Shapiro because his home was put up on auction.
Yeah, yeah,
that's what may have triggered him. Again, that's not officially confirmed, but you have to be angry. So you have to really be angry to go and carry out something like this. And apparently that's one of the things he was mad about. So I don't know if you have to be that mad to go in and climb a fence and then still get into the governor's mansion and pull this off. Is hard to believe in this day and age.
He actually looks eerily similar to a guy that Nick Cale plays golf with on occasion. I'm serious.
Everybody in the Lehigh Valley looks
seriously.
Like that.
He looks just like one of your boys.
J.D. Vance has come out and condemned it. Pam Bondi has come out and condemned it. I do not see a post from Trump on social, but he hasn't posted in 6 days.
Well, apparently he was asked on Air Force One about the incident, and he said, I just heard about it. I'll have to look into it. That's weak.
Yeah, that is.
That's a weak response. I'm sorry.
Look into it?
Yeah. Yeah, you've heard about it. You can say something about it.
Like, we have.
Do we?
Yeah. Thank you, Phil. Here's some of Josh Shapiro from last night.
Don't know the person's specific motive yet, but we do know a few truths. First, this type of violence is not okay. This kind of violence is becoming far too common in our society. And I don't give a damn if it's coming from one particular side or the other, directed at one particular party or another, or one particular person or another. It is not okay. And it has to stop. We have to be better than this. And we have a responsibility to all be better.
Well, you know what? You can forget political sides for a moment. But this is the culmination of explosive, inflammatory rhetoric, right? Whether it's somebody calling Trump Hitler and then trying to assassinate him, or somebody trying to burn down a governor's mansion, this is what happens when both sides get to the point where they say such stupid stuff that it leads to people that are not all there in the head to go out and act upon this, which is what we saw yesterday, which is deplorable.
I hate blaming rhetoric, though, guys. You know that's
I do too.
It sticks in my craw all
the
time.
But unfortunately, there's a lot of sick people out there.
Agreed. But we can't, like, especially us on shows like this, we can't not call out, you know, as Tony says, crumb bums, chance that some crazy person listening is going to go out and do some harm.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not saying we're responsible for other people's actions.
Agreed.
Right. But you have some of these people that have a few screws loose and they think they're going to, you know, do something for the greater good or a cause. And you look at these people and you're like, these are the people that need to be off of our streets.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. This
with all due respect to Governor Shapiro, he has been posting selfies like every 15 minutes of everywhere he is. And he obviously wants to be the presidential nominee in 2028, and that's fine. He can do that.
Yep.
Same thing with Gavin Newsom. These two guys, Newsom and Shapiro, two of the biggest names, they're both vying to become the nominee in 2028. That's no secret. But the bottom line is Josh Shapiro's side is the one that constantly talks about Hitler and Nazi, and this is Trump's fault, and Trump is doing this, and Trump. So when you get the people who are angry, the people who are going to Tesla dealerships and burning them down, and I'm not saying that language hurts or helps or doesn't anything. When you keep calling somebody Hitler and you get people who are psychologically damaged, like this guy who went into the Shapiro mansion in Harrisburg, there are people who are psychologically damaged who doesn't take much for them to go to the next level.
Right.
That's the part, just like the Ralph guy in, you know, Washington at the golf course. You know, he was ordering like weapons, missiles, to try to kill Trump.
Yep.
So when you got deranged people, and there's a lot of deranged ones out there, you have to be careful no matter which side you're on. There's no sides here. It's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do crazy stuff, and there's so many crazy people walking our streets, and many of them come out and absolutely tell you that they show you how crazy they are.
Well,
and we're not even rounding them up.
There's a story that we might get to today about a Wisconsin teen who allegedly killed his parents to obtain the financial means and autonomy necessary to kill President Donald Trump and overthrow the U.S. government.
Yeah, it's in the big take.
So, like, the whole thing is just, you know what I mean? Like, and that story is going to kind of get, you know, fly underneath the radar because of this Shapiro thing. Now, the Shapiro thing should take precedent because, you know,
this is the biggest story in the country. The Josh Shapiro, when you have a governor's mansion set on fire by an angry nut job.
Yep.
That's pretty bam big. I mean, Pennsylvania is a major state in this country. And this should lead every story. And when I saw because I was up at like 3:30 and I'm looking on the internet and I'm seeing they already have pictures of this guy. They have background of this guy. And one of the stories was, as soon as the mainstream media finds out that this is the suspect, you watch how fast this story goes away. Well, it's not going to go away because it's the biggest story in the nation.
Yep.
And it'll lead, if it doesn't lead every newscast on any network or any TV or radio show, then we're not doing our jobs in reporting what's going on out there.
Yep. All right, let's wrap it up with a couple of headlines in sports. The Phillies fall to the Cardinals yesterday 7-0 as they dropped 2 of 3 in St. Louis. The Phillies have now lost 3 of 4 in 4 of their last 6. They now sit at 9-6, a game back of the Mets. Is it too early to call for Topper's head?
Yes. It's never too early. You know, this is Philadelphia, and as I said last week, 162 games. Yeah. Each game is like an Eagles game, but it's multiplied by 10. Yeah. So the bottom line is the Phillies just drive. They got shut out twice in St. Louis, 7-0 and 2-0.
Yeah.
And then Aaron Nola's 0-3 now, and now you have the A's yesterday got shelled.
They don't score any runs for Nola, period.
Yeah, they don't.
Well, they never score runs for Nola.
No. And Wheeler has had
subpar
starts.
Zach Wheeler, too. Yeah. Same. It's been, they're two.
But the Cubs, watch out for the Cubs.
Yeah.
The Cubs are sneaking up on everybody. They're plus 43. They have scored 43 more runs than they've given up with 11 wins so far. But San Diego, San Francisco, the Dodgers are all playing
well. That's who the Phillies are playing now. The Giants coming into town for 4.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
You're Higante in town back at the bank tonight, Harry. You going?
No.
No.
You got a box?
No.
Got the box? You got the station box?
No. Speaking of the box, Rory McIlroy could check off a box as he wins the Masters.
What's in the box?
That green jacket's in the box, and it fits Rory well as he caps off the career.
Look at the long shadows.
There it is.
Symbolic. This moment, the journey it's taken to get here, for all this history.
Give it to me.
Wow.
Here it is. It's in the hole. It's in the hole.
The long journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
Masterpiece, you get it?
Wow.
That's the same reaction I had when they restocked the Tito's at the liquor store. what a moment. Harry Mays, you're the golf guy. Your thoughts yesterday?
Well, it's great for golf that he finally closed the deal. I'm not a fan, but it's, it was great to watch. We got drama.
We did.
Didn't develop between the two players that we thought it would be because Bryson just disappeared. But
yep.
One more from that yesterday. This is 27, I think, Phil.
He's the Masters champion.
27.
Let's see here. 27. There he is. Well,
in the hole.
So here's the question. Is it exhilaration or relief?
It's more relief, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
11 years
ago. Did he have any problems? Did Rory have any problems or complaints about the mud balls there on on the back nine?
You can't say that.
On the second nine. By the way, for all the ripping of the Masters and Augusta and the pretentiousness, because they have certain rules at CBS that they can't call it the front nine, the back nine, they can't call the crowd, it's the patrons.
They can't say
they
rough.
They don't rip people off for food.
Right.
And they don't allow cameras. So at the 18th hole.
Like phone cameras, yeah.
Yeah, camera phones. Yeah. So people just go there for the love of golf.
Yeah.
So it's not the pretentious. It's pretentious in a way because of the rules, and they set the rules, and everybody abides by them, or they lose the contest. That's why CBS does what they say, so they don't lose the Masters every year.
Mud balls. To be brutally honest with you, it was primarily mud balls, and it's just so frustrating because you can't talk about them here. You're not supposed to talk about them. I mean, mud balls can affect this tournament significantly.
Speed. They don't have mud.
They've done a better job. There's less than normal, but
free speech does not exist.
I mean, I still had them today on those holes too. I had him yesterday on those holes, and I was actually really surprised, like on Tuesday, how but I'm expecting it a lot out here. Look, it's mowed into the grain; the ball's digging in on every shot. Every person's having to deal with it, but the fact that you're not supposed to talk about it is a bit frustrating because it is a difference maker. It can be a difference maker in scores on some holes.
Big balls,
exactly.
We don't talk about mud balls. We do talk about big balls, we don't talk about mud balls.
Yeah,
you know, and we don't talk about the ball sticking. Harry, do you have mud ball problems when you go out? No, when you play like the local
league. No, we play lift clean in place every time we go out. But just don't take a leak in Ray's Creek, Tony. That's something you would do if you were there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would do that. You know, I go up to where they're going to have the Valspar
pants, loudmouth pants on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
With his Tommy Armour persimmon driver.
I'll bring out my Tommy Armour and let that dog eat and hunt and all the other things that it does. The last time I played golf was Harry years ago, mm-hmm. and it was during the pandemic. Remember when we went out to your club, Harry?
Yep.
And I'm playing on a Saturday. And everybody had masks on, and I stunk the place up. So
I have so
my clubs down here in my
out.
Garage, Harry. I have my clubs in my garage already, unsheathed, sitting there, and I have yet to even go out to a. I haven't even gone to like Top Golf and put on a show. Wow. You know what I'm saying?
Buckle in, folks. Oh, this show might go till noon today.
That's right. Oh my God. Big take coming up at 8. Oh my
goodness. All right, we really have to break.
On that note, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to the big take. And by that time, the cut sheet will be here.
Wow.
There you go. Show's over.
It's a Monday.
Good night, everybody.
It's a Monday. It's a holiday week. And there's a lot of news.
Yes.
You got to break it all down.
Yeah,
exactly
baby.
Right.
Yeah. Get up, Harry. Come on. Let's go.
Kale and Company, Tony Bruno, Harry Mays, Greg Stocker, as we get it going here on a Monday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app. The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by First Bank, the Big Take, Liars and Liabilities, how the left has left the room. It's day 84 of the second Trump administration, and right now, 47, well, he's operating at warp speed. We've never really seen a president with so many things in motion simultaneously like we are seeing right now. It is also the most transparent administration in American history, and all that really hangs in the balance, surprisingly. Prior to the first 100 days coming to a close is the final results of tariffs and the impact they will have on the economy for Americans. But many things have proven true. The border is shut down and closed. Inflation has cooled back-to-back months. Job reports are good. And the left is being exposed day by day for what they are and what they've become. But from polling numbers to admissions from the legacy media to the liabilities of the insane, we have it all. Let's begin with we the people. Here is CNN's Harry Enten over the weekend confirming what I just said about how the left is no longer the majority and the GOP is now the party of the people. Listen and watch this.
This to me is one of the most shocking pieces of poll data that I truthfully have seen this year, maybe in any prior year.
Really?
Because I want you to take a look. Cares more about the needs for people like you. You mentioned Kate Bowen. We got a tie, even after this tariff war had already started, split between Democrats and Republicans on how people feel, which party cares more for needs of people like you. And why is that so surprising? Because I want you to take a look at prior years. Democrats always lead on this question. Back in 2017, before the 2018 midterms, 13-point lead. 2005, a 23-point lead for Democrats. 1994, which was a big Republican year, a 19-point lead for Democrats. And now, all of a sudden, a tie? All of a sudden, the Democrats, who are the party of the people, no more. We get a tie on this question, on a question that has traditionally overwhelmingly been a Democratic advantage. Which party cares more for the needs of people like you? It's truly something I would not have expected to see, especially after this tariff war had begun.
Throw in the fact that Trump won the popular vote, and you can say they are the party of the people. And I believe these results exist because of two dynamics in play that are joined at the hip. The Democrat Party is now the party of coastal elites, Ivy League educated, and the party that panders to fringe communities. Plus, the legacy media has been exposed as being the lapdogs for the Democrats. And the mainstream media is dying like we've never seen before. Factor in the rise of alternative media, talk radio, different viewpoints, different facts, common sense. And this stems from social media, the internet, and the receipts that capture their hypocrisy, their lies, and the fear porn. Case in point, Chuck Todd, former Sunday host on NBC's Meet the Press, he was on with Piers Morgan and admits the lies of the left and their lackeys in the media. Listen and watch this.
I sit here and I'll defend a little bit of this in that I would argue the reason people were able to come to their own conclusion on Joe Biden is because of the media coverage. You know, look, we were subtle. He's using the back staircase. He's not using the front staircase. Hey, he's not doing any interviews. So there was this reluctance to draw the conclusion to say, is he not doing this? And that I agree with. That was held back a lot. I would argue it was also held back a lot back in the late 80s when it was clear Ronald Reagan wasn't necessarily running everything in the White House. Whether you want to call it decorum, whatever you want to call it, look, there were plenty of members of the media. I remember David Ignatius in the Washington Post, plenty of individual people questioning whether he should run. I certainly questioned whether he should run. You didn't understand, you know, there were some of that. But I understand the argument about the collective on that front. The only thing I can chalk it up to is this, whatever you want to call it, this fear that some members of the media had sometimes that they would be perceived as helping Trump if they somehow diminished Biden, right? That it was some sort of zero-sum game. Mm-hmm. And I think this has been the fundamental mistake that many members of the traditional press have done.
The media would rather lie to you to help the establishment remain in control, help their corporate sponsors, and assist the swamp, than report the truth as non-biased, objective reporters. It's further proof that journalism is dead in America. It's all bought and paid for propaganda. But I'll give credit to one man, and that is Bill Maher. Now, I'm a fan of Bill Maher. I think he's funny. I respect that he rails on the woke. He's a believer in free speech. I might disagree with him on 6 out of 10 issues. He's a classic old school liberal, but he's not insane. I also disagree with him on his views on Donald Trump, but I respect the fact that he was willing to go to Mar-a-Lago, so respect and credit when it's due. Bill Maher went to the White House and broke bread with Trump, and guess what? It went really well. Surprise, surprise. Listen and watch this.
As you know, 12 days ago, I had dinner with President Trump, a dinner that was set up by my friend Kid Rock, because we share a belief that there's got to be something better than hurling insults from 3,000 miles away. And let me first say that to all the people who treated this like it was some kind of summit meeting, you're ridiculous. Like I was going to sign a treaty or something. I have no power. I'm a comedian, and he's the most powerful leader in the world. I'm not the leader of anything, except maybe a contingent of centrist-minded people who think there's got to be a better way of running this country than hating each other every minute. So, thank you. So, okay, so meet up in person. Maybe it'll be different. Spoiler alert, it was. First good sign, before I left for the Capitol, I had my staff collect and print out this list of almost 60 different insulting epithets that the president has said about me. Things like stupid, dummy, lowlife dummy, sleazebag, sick, sad, stone cold crazy, really a dumb guy, fired like a dog, his show is dead. It was 60. I brought this to the White House because I wanted him to sign it. Which he did. Which he did with good humor. And I know as I say that, millions of liberal sphincters just tightened. Oh my God, Bill, are you going to say something nice about him? What I'm going to do is report exactly what happened. You decide what you think about it. And if that's not enough pure Trump hate for you, I don't give.
It's well done by Bill. Of course, that doesn't sit well with the insane, like washed-up nutbag Keith Olbermann, the deranged former MSNBC and ESPN commentator, went on a tangent saying that Maher was, quote, prostituting himself over the Trump dinner praise, and that he did this so he could, quote, keep his HBO show. Those are words, as unhinged as they may be, but they are ultimately harmless, meaningless, desperate attempts at gaining attention. Liars are one thing, like Chuck Todd. Those who are liabilities, they're another. Two disturbing stories from the weekend. First, we go to Butler, Pennsylvania. Yes, that Butler, Pennsylvania. Headline from the Post-Millennial. Butler, PA YouTuber named Mr. Satan charged with making threats to assassinate Donald Trump. They write the following. A Butler, Pennsylvania man has been charged with making online threats to assault and murder President Donald Trump as well as other officials. Butler, the location of an attempt on Trump's life at a July campaign rally last year. According to the Department of Justice, 32-year-old Sean Monper was taken into custody by the FBI with the assistance of the Butler Township Police Department, and he was detained. A hearing is scheduled for today. But if you think that's sick, Wisconsin just told Pennsylvania to hold their beer. Headline from Yahoo. Wisconsin teen allegedly killed parents in an extremist plot to assassinate Donald Trump, the FBI says. They write in this Yahoo story, a Wisconsin teen allegedly killed his parents to, quote, obtain the financial means and autonomy necessary to kill President Trump and overthrow the U.S. government, federal authorities said in court documents. Nikita Kasop, 17, was arrested in March and charged with two counts of first-degree murder and two counts of hiding a corpse. Other charges include theft of property over $100,000 and misappropriating ID to obtain money. You know, I'm old enough to remember when the Democrats and the media lectured Americans that Trump supporters were the violent extremists in this country. Republicans and MAGA, they were domestic terrorists. The LGBT community under attack every day. Funny thing is, I just don't seem to have any receipts of that being true over the last couple of years or stories to report on. Seems like Republicans are the mostly peaceful, sane ones. It's weird. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Which is brought to you by First Bank. If you're ready to drive your business to successes like never before and you need a trusted local partner, count on First Bank for personalized support and smart solutions to help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we'll get Tony and Harry's thoughts on the other side from the Bill Maher Trump meeting, as well as these other disturbing stories with assassination plots against Donald Trump yet again as we continue. It's Kale and Company as we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour next on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But first, a word from our friends at Piazza Acura, where they're talking now about the 2025 Acura ADX. It's Piazza Acura's latest addition to their precision-crafted lineup. This premium compact SUV, it's a breakthrough in design, performance, and innovation. With a turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system, and cutting-edge technology, the Acura ADX is engineered for those who demand more. And best of all, it's now available at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester, with leases as low as $389 per month. Visit PiazzaAcura.com for the latest details.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
From Bill Maher and Trump breaking bread to Chuck Todd being the little lying weasel that he is. You know, it's amazing. We've got all these assassination attempts. We've got arson. Yet Trump and Bill Maher, who have butted heads for a decade, can go and break bread and have a good time. And yet we've got other people that are trying to kill a governor or shoot a president.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is that Bill Maher, who's obviously far left, and he's been that way, and that's fine. Everybody knows it. I've seen a party with Bill Maher at events in California. You know, he's very popular here. And so when he goes out, people like him. He's funny. He does good stuff. But the bottom line is he got invited. He went there. And now the people are now wanting him canceled from HBO because he said he went to the White House and broke bread with Trump. So the problem is when people are that extreme and they're mad that somebody does something that they don't like and they think that he's not. Because let's be honest, I know for a fact that Bill Maher is absolutely in bed with Gavin Newsom. He will support Gavin Newsom. If Gavin Newsom's a nominee, he will support him and he will lead the way, even though Gavin Newsom is the worst governor in America, next to Phil Murphy and Gretchen Whitmer and all these other losers out there. So he's a Gavin Newsom guy, no doubt about it. But the thing about people who, somebody that they like and they go, like when I see like De Niro's a schmuck. I don't watch his movies, not because he's a whack job.
You don't watch
his movies?
Because his movies
suck. The new ones, they suck. The new ones all suck.
Okay.
He's like a couple of actors who just keep churning out movie after movie, no matter how good or bad they are.
Well, he's played the same character for five decades, too. It's a little boring.
Yeah, and his latest movie was a bomb. So I don't root against De Niro because he's an idiot. I don't even root against him at all. If I don't want to go see, I won't see his movies because they suck. The one where he plays both parts that was up for an Oscar, I mean, the thing got snubbed. Nobody watched that movie. So I don't hold against people that I disagree with. I don't say I'm never going to boycott and all that. Boycotts is just don't watch the movie. But you have to announce that you're going to boycott somebody. Who cares except you and a couple of people who agree with you? Yep. That's the thing about boycotts. It makes no sense to me.
It's like people announcing that they're leaving a social media platform. I love that.
Yeah, who was
and
it?
And people are already upset, Harry. I just got to point this out. Uh-huh. Harry has yet to say, what's going on back there? I am pissed off.
We said it during the break. We said it during the break. Because,
Because I have them loaded, but my machine won't play. So, Nick, it's up to you, and Greg, it's up to you. When Harry, if Harry cannot go through 4 hours without giving us a what's going on back there, I am pissed off, or get out, get out.
Well, it's got to occur naturally. It's got to arrive from an organic state of discontent.
Yeah. That was said many times over the weekend as I was watching my Masters bets just disappear into Ray's Creek.
Disappearing like Chuck Todd off of the mainstream media. Yeah. One of the things that you always said back in the day, and for those that maybe don't remember Tony and Harry and myself doing a sports show in a different lifetime, is you always hated the guys, and this is Harry, that you could sniff out from Jump Street that was a total fraud in the scope.
Oh, yeah.
And like for Chuck Todd, you know, and we all kind of knew this,
Weasel.
Right? Like these guys, they all carry the water. And the same thing with Sean Hannity.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Hannity's got his head so far up Trump's ass. You know, he doesn't know where Trump's body ends and Ainsley Earhart's body begins.
He better figure that out.
But like, you know, for the love of God, Chuck Todd, I mean, you're basically coming out and saying, oh, yeah, we can't praise Trump for anything that he does. And Harry, you say this all the time. If Trump could create a cure for childhood cancer, he would do it. And then the media would try to downplay it.
Right.
And Chuck Todd comes out and basically gives the secret sauce.
Yep. They're all in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all in on it. It's a total ruse. It's a total sham.
Well, I mean, Lester Holt said something similar to that back during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that they basically are just giving you a story. Like you know, it's not facts. They're not journalists anymore.
No. Well, and the biggest culprit today, I would argue, is the lady on Face the Nation on CBS now, Margaret Brennan.
Her whole
bit is to be combative and dismiss every Republican guest that comes on, right?
Yep.
J.D. Vance.
She gets owned every Sunday morning. She does the same shtick, and then whoever the guest is basically takes her out within the first 10 minutes of the show. I don't watch it. That's the best thing about X. You can watch the clips. Like, I didn't watch Bill Maher Saturday, Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the next morning to see his monologue. I don't need to watch the whole
show. That monologue was great, though.
Right. Right. It was.
That was brilliant. Really
good. And that's where I give that's where I'll give Bill Maher some credit is, he is willing to tell a portion of his audience to go pound sand if you don't like the fact that I went to the White House, because they have a mutual friend in Kid Rock.
But I totally agree with his take about, I wish Trump were more like he was at the dinner party on the outside. Like, the outside Trump drives me nuts sometimes.
So you want less of the bombastic?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Like making fun of Schiff for Brain's neck.
Oh,
you know, and his
with
big
the,
head.
The yeah,
like, I don't
head.
Need that. We're not on the playground in the fourth grade.
Well,
he's got the smallest neck I've ever seen.
Come on.
And the biggest head. We call him Watermelon Head.
Honestly. Really?
Watermelon Head.
By the way, Harry said Schiff for Brains.
Yeah, I said Schiff.
Schiff.
Yeah. I saw Stalker's head snap.
Oh, I know.
The dump button was coming.
No. I know you know how to do radio.
Yeah,
I'm just, you know, for all the trolls out there that are trying to, you know.
Well, when Stalker needs to get to that button.
I'm fast.
Exactly.
By the way, people are wondering, you know, why this is a sausage fest. And Miss Robin, who's listening in the other room, says, I'm kind of liking this sausage fest.
Yeah.
It's like old time. So a lot of people are saying, you know, this is just a sausage fest, four dudes just talking.
Yep.
But, you know, it's a one-day-only thing. You know what I mean?
It's a one-off.
Like that special concert.
Yeah.
You know, when they have it in the movie theater, you have to go to the movie theater to see that special concert.
Yeah.
You don't even have to pay for this. That's the best part. But don't forget to smash that subscribe button and hit the likes, as they say on all these
Thank you. Look at that.
Smash that.
You're
don't
hired.
Just hit it.
Yeah.
You have to smash the subscribe button.
Smash it.
Smash it. And don't forget to like.
That's right.
Hammer the like button. Yeah.
You're right. This is like a reunion tour because Phil Lomquist is here.
All the Phil timers out
there. Exactly right.
Exactly right. He never misses a free show. All right, Kale and Company, hour two is on the way. We'll have some news to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. Cut Sheet's going to be absolutely loaded. That's coming up at 7:45. And then also, a bizarre story. I actually, when Stalker sent this last night, I had to, I swear to God, this is after the Masters, it's about 8 o'clock, I had to read this story four times to figure out what the hell I was missing and what the controversy is, And apparently it has to do with the Mandela effect. And you might have worn their underwear back in the day.
Huh?
Stick around for this story. This has gone viral, and it's kind of interesting if you like these types of stories. Scale and Company, Hour 2 is next.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.